First Peter chapter 4. I'll do that too since I'm preaching. I've noticed a lot of things that makes preaching easier, amen. And you go to the same place for everybody else's, amen. You have to be patient with me tonight. I got a new Bible tonight, amen. I got a different Bible. Yeah, Brother Castle got me into that King James thing, amen. So, amen, so, amen. So, yeah, you'll appreciate this tonight, amen. It's one of them churches, ain't it, amen. Amen. It's good to be saved. Well, take out your Bible tonight. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you would stand with me real quick, we'll read the Word of God here and just see what He would have for us tonight. Can I tell you tonight that He's worthy? He's worthy tonight, and it'd be one thing if He was worthy tonight and He was somewhere in a world far away and we just got the glory about how good He is, but it goes further than that. He's interested in us, amen, and I ask me to explain that to you. I can't explain that to you. It's beyond my comprehension that He'd be interested in us, but I sure am thankful that He is, amen. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start in verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." And I guess if I was a fancy preacher, I'd have me a text, so this next verse will be on my text tonight, amen. It says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And that's what I'd preach tonight on, is the manifold grace of God. Father, thank You for letting us be here tonight. God, these people could have been anywhere else tonight. But God, they chose to set aside the things of the world, the things that would so concern us tonight. And they've chosen to be in the house of God. And I pray that we wouldn't be disappointed tonight, God, but we wouldn't just hear about You, but we'd get to meet with You tonight, that we'd enjoy Your presence in the service tonight. And we ask You to help us tonight, God, and we ask You to show us some things from the Scripture, Lord, that might be a help to us in our dark times and in our glory times, Lord. And just pray that You'd help us during the message, and we'll give You all the glory for it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The manifold grace of God. It's an interesting thing that He says here. He says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." That's an interesting term, isn't it? Manifold grace of God, right? We've heard about the good grace of God. We've heard about the mighty grace of God and the available grace of God and all these, boy, you could preach messages, and we've heard lots of messages on the grace of God. But He says an interesting word here. It's called manifold. And if there's anybody here tonight that's a plumber or maybe an automotive person that works on cars, you might understand what a manifold is, amen. It's simply something that has one source, but it goes out many different ways, amen. And that's not real complicated. I mean, you think about the electricity, amen. You probably got one wire coming into the building here, amen. Comes from somewhere, right? You got one source coming in, but is anybody happy tonight that we turned the lights on and the lights came on? What is that? That's a manifestation of light. That's a manifestation of electricity, I should say, right? Now, how about the sound guy back there? Boy, he has a bad day, and everybody has a bad day, amen? The singers, boy, they just do a good job, and boy, that, well, glory to God to the singers, amen? But when it's a bad day, oh, that sound guy, amen? And that's how it works, right? But you know, he really appreciates the manifestation of electricity in everything that he has back there, amen? And the manifestation of electricity in the battery. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways electricity is manifest, but it's still the same source. Can I tell you tonight, that's the grace of God. How about the water, amen? Water's another good example. You might have a well or you might have city water. It comes in one source coming in, but it's manifested many different ways. Anybody flush the toilet today? Amen. Anybody thankful for a toilet that flushes? Amen. Hey, I'm an evangelist. I can say that. Amen. Thank God for a toilet that flushes. Amen. Inside the house. Woohoo. Amen. And I tell you what, it's a great thing, but that's a manifestation of water, right? Now, how about the drinking fountain? Anybody get a drink? Another, that's a different, hopefully a lot different manifestation of water. Amen, right? But nonetheless, it still comes in from the same source, right? A different manifestation of water. The ladies in the nursery sure appreciate having water, amen. But what is that? That's just a simple, simple illustration of the grace of God. It's many, many ways. Let me give you an example. Tonight's Wednesday night. Prayer meeting. Prayer night, right? If I was to say tonight, would anyone tonight pray for the grace of God? Oh my, the hands would go up all over the building. Old folks, young folks, everybody in between, I had the hands that go up, amen. And I would say, okay, now do this. Now let's take the offering plate, and we'd say, okay, now let's go ahead and have the guys go out, and everybody take out a piece of paper, and you write down what that prayer request is. Don't put your name on it, amen. this ain't the gossip station, amen. Well, go ahead and put your request down there. And the guys would go out with the plates and they'd take up the prayer requests and we'd bring them back up here. Now, what do we pray for? Prayed for the grace of God, right? And as we bring these prayer requests up here and we read these off one by one, you'd be amazed at how different the prayer requests were. Some would be praying for a job. Some would be praying for help. Amen. And the list goes on, the different things that we pray for. But what is that? We're praying for the grace of God. And if we were honest, we would start to pray with, Lord, I know I don't deserve this, but Lord, I'm asking you for this. Amen. Because he's worthy. Amen. And I just thank God that he cares about every aspect of our life. And I'd like to just present five different types of the grace of God tonight. And maybe you could find yourself somewhere in this tonight. And Paul said he'd rather speak 10,000 words. Or he'd basically rather edify the church. Amen. I butchered the verse, but he said that he'd rather edify the church than do a lot of other things. Amen. I don't want to do anything tonight other than help somebody tonight. And I pray that God would bless the meeting tonight. Amen. Number one would be God's saving grace. God's saving grace. And can I tell you tonight that without this, none of the rest of them matter? Amen. The job doesn't matter. The wife doesn't matter. The health for your children doesn't matter. If you're going to go burn in the lake of fire forever. You're lost. I mean, we pray for lost family members, amen. Why? Because that's the most important thing in their life. There's a lot of things that we could pray for tonight when we get done with the service. I understand that's going to be the prayer time of the service. There's going to be a lot of things we pray for tonight. Number one would be saving grace. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What is that? That's God's saving grace. The riches of his grace. You realize that God's not limited on the amount of folks that he can save tonight. He's not limited. Amen. Who do you got on your prayer list? Talking about folks getting saved. You got the bus route. Why do you go out on the bus route? Because you want to see folks get saved. Isn't that right? I mean, that's why we go do that. Sure, if there's somebody that's already saved, we want to get them in, disciple them, things like that. But number one, we want to see them get saved. Because outside of that, nothing else matters. Amen. Ephesians 2:4 said, but God, who's rich in mercy, there he's rich again. Amen. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why would he do that? Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. He's not just rich, it says the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. What is that? That's God's saving grace. Amen. I really don't think we appreciate our salvation. We don't really appreciate God's saving grace. You know, it's an interesting thing. That's a financial term. He's talking about the riches, right? God's riches, the exceeding riches of his grace. Appreciation is a financial term. It's something where something gains value over time, amen? You don't want to buy something that's going to lose value. You want to buy something that's going to gain value, amen? Well, that's the same way as our salvation. I can say tonight that I value my salvation more than when I first got saved. I didn't even realize what I had. And you might be in here tonight, you might have been saved for a week or a month or a year, and you may not even fully realize what happened when you got saved, amen? My, what a glorious thing it is to be saved, amen? I just think about that, and there's no end to the supply of his grace. I remember when we were young, it was Christmas time, my dad would go out and he'd work, and I remember he'd come in and there's me, our three brothers, and my sister, and he'd get us all together, and he'd get us boys, and he'd get my sister, and he'd give us each a $100 bill. It's Christmas time. Okay, $100 bill. Now everybody's listening, right? He'd give them a $100 bill, and he'd say, now you go out and you be nice to each other, and you buy each other some nice stuff, and don't forget your mama. Amen. That's good preaching. Don't forget your mama. Amen. And what happened was we would go out, and man, it was a shopping frenzy. Amen. Why? Because I had a $100 bill. I never had one of those before. Wow, this is great. Amen. And we were in around shopping. Oh, the girls. I went shopping. I went shopping with somebody else's money. You know what a blessing that is? Amen. I could have ran for Congress. Amen. I could be a congressman. Amen. It's fun spending somebody else's money. Amen. But that's what it's like when you're winning souls. That's what it is when you're witnessing to somebody. There's no end to the grace of God. Somebody gets saved. Man, go get you another one. Amen. Man, what a great thing it is. And you know what? One day in heaven, you're going to realize the opportunities that we had that we didn't take. And you're going to say, man, what a shame. What a shame. Lord, help us to be concerned about God's saving grace. Amen. Number two, so now you're saved. Now you're saved. Glory to God. We're saved. We're a child of God. Now what? We need God's sanctifying grace. Because you know what happens after you get saved is now he starts pointing some things out in your life that, well, they're not really pleasing to God. Amen. And you know what it is? We have the old sin nature. I can at least speak for myself tonight. Amen. I was 33 years old when I got saved. Man, I was a monster. Amen. Spent 10 years in military and construction. Every other thing that you might say would contribute to that. Amen. But it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. Amen. And this man witnessed to me, and I got saved. Realized that I needed Jesus Christ. I needed to be saved, and I saw a good thing. Amen. And I saw that I was in a desperate spot, and I really needed to be saved. And you know, if you're there tonight, that's a good place to be. Amen. It's good to realize you need to be saved. But you'll notice an amazing thing, because I had this all this bad music, and we moved up to Idaho, and we listened to this music, and man, I just love my music. In case you couldn't tell, I'm a music guy, amen. I'm really interested in my music, amen. And so what it is, I'm listening to this stuff, and I go to work, and I don't think much about it. Well, I get saved. That's an amazing thing that happened when I got saved, is God didn't clean out my truck. God didn't clean out my music collection. God didn't clean out my movies. God, are you with me? There's a lot of things that God did not do when I got saved. I'm glad he saved my soul, but it seems like he stopped there, because I was still a mess. I was still a mess, amen. And so I'm driving to work the next day, and I'm going to work, and I'm just driving down the road, going down the road, listening to my stuff. And I got to work, and man, I just didn't feel good. I thought, man, I must have ate something. You know, you're always trying to figure out what it is, why you don't feel good and everything. And man, I just a bad day. Just had a rough day. I was just kind of ill in my stomach, and driving home, and I was almost back to my house, and I realized, man, this is bad. This is not good. And so I remember I went home, and a couple days of that, and I realized, okay, I got to do something with this, amen. Talked to my wife and said, you know, this is really, I need to do something with the music. This is not good. And so I remember going through my tape collection. That tells how old I am, amen. CD, we didn't know what CDs were. I was down at the bank. You invest your money, amen. But we had cassette tapes and 8-tracks. So anyways, but no, we had cassette tapes. And amen. So you're listening to your music, and you're going down the road. And I say, man, I got to get rid of this stuff. So we come home, and I'm going through my collection, and I got it all in the pile there. And I'm like, oh, man, this is bad. Oh, and wow. Okay, that's bad. That's bad. Well, that's not that bad. Okay. Oh, that's bad. You know, and you're going through, and you're weeding the things out. Glory to God, I'm doing something for God, amen. I'm sacrificing. I remember I got this big old pile of bad music. And that's some good stuff. This is good music, right? But I took that bad music, and I put it in the trash bag. And I remember we ran down to the pawn shop, because I thought, man, you know how much I can get for this? I was so excited. I was going down to the pawn shop. Woohoo! I was going to turn this stuff in. We got in the parking lot, and I got out. I had my trash bag. It looked like Santa Claus fixing to walk into this place, you know? And so I go in there, and I'm just going towards the thing. I'm like, man, if I take this in there, somebody else is going to get it. No! And I learned sacrifice for the first time, amen. And so what do you do? Oh, the battle. And I'm like, God, you got to help me. Oh, amen. And what is that? That's God's sanctifying grace. I needed help to get over my sin. And say, that's a silly thing. Oh, it wasn't silly at the time. That was a bit. Well, I tell you what, when you got some things that you've been doing for 25, 10, 20, 30 years, and now you get saved, amen. Now you want to do right. You sure do. You got the Holy Spirit living inside. But the old guy didn't move out yet. Amen. And the war is on. Amen. And amen. And so I'll go home and burn this stuff. That's what I'll do. Yeah, we'll have us a burning, because we heard about that at the church. That's what you do. You smash up your bad stuff and you burn it. And yeah, that's what we'll do. I remember going, man, we took this stuff out there, and I had a big old axe, and I was smashing stuff in the yard. We had a fire. Man, tears streaming down my cheeks. I remember they're coming down this side, because I'm so excited. I'm doing something for God, and it's coming down this side. No, not that one. Amen. But that's sanctification, amen. God shows you things that are not pleasing to him, amen. And then you start realizing, okay, this is bad. And there's countless categories that we've enjoyed going through in our life, amen. And then the thing, now I'm raising children. Oh, my. And grandma sends us Christmas presents. Oh, not this grandma. Amen. And what is it? She sends stuff in, and now you're starting to say, I can't. No, the girls can't look at this. Amen. Starting to send dolls and all these Disney movies. I don't know where you guys are at on Disney. Disney's wicked. Amen. I'll just go and say it. Disney's wicked, okay? And boy, it was on, because mom collected Disney, and she called Child Protective Services on us, because I done went crazy. I was against Bambi, and so I had to be crazy, amen. And so anyway, so that's the life, amen. You get saved, and God starts working on you, and he starts showing you things. And if you stay sensitive, stay soft, Stay moldable. Let God speak to you, amen. And when he shows you something in your life, get rid of it, amen. You will never regret getting rid of something for God, amen. So that's what I tell you what, some of it was easy, man. Some of it was pretty obvious. Okay, this got to go, amen. Some of it, oh my, the battle was on. But I had to pray, God, you have to help me because I really need help, amen. And you might be there tonight. You might be there tonight. God's pointing things out in your life and the battle's on. You might be in turmoil right now listening to this and saying, oh, that's me. Amen, that's me, but I'm not, well, I need to. Well, no, that's the battle, amen. And Lord, to help you, just consider that he wants you to get victory more than you do. You want the victory, he wants the glory, amen. And my, what a glorious thing it is when you finally get victory over that thing and wow, amen, you go to church and anybody have a testimony and you're jumping up and down, yes, brother, amen. Go and let him talk, amen. And he goes on about the things that the Lord's helped him with. Glory to God, amen. If God's dealing with something in your life, submit to the Lord, amen. The preacher stands up, thus saith the Lord, amen. And the battle goes on. The Holy Spirit says, that's you, amen. Why don't you make your spot up here? Not over here, that's my spot. Amen, you find your spot up here, make yourself comfortable at the altar. That's a good place to be, amen. God's sanctifying grace. Number three, why would God sanctify you, amen? 2 Timothy 2:20 says, but in a great house there's not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And this is the battle we're talking about. And he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what do you mean purge yourself? We have to make a decision. Amen. Well, I thought it was God that gives you the victory. He does. But when you decide to quit smoking, he don't throw out your cigarettes. Are you with me? This is as deep as it gets with me, so amen. Amen. But you know what it is God is going to, the Holy Spirit's going to point something out to you through the preaching, through your Bible reading, through whatever it is. You're going to hear the word of God. You're going to hear the truth. And as you acknowledge the truth, he's going to give you a little something in there that makes you want to quit doing that. Amen. And then the battle's on, and then you ask for help. God, give me the grace to get over this. Amen. But why does he do that? Vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? Well, it says, wood and honor and dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and here's the reason, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What is that? That's God's sanctifying grace. He cleans you up. Why? So you can go around and brag about how clean you are and how good you are. No, that's what the Pharisees did. Amen. So that you can do something. God wants to use a clean vessel. Amen. He wants to use a clean vessel. If you want to do something for God, you can't have that garbage of the world in there and think you're going to dump the word of God in and mix it up and somehow you're going to have both in there and you're going to do something for God. It doesn't work that way. God wants to use a clean vessel, amen. And young people, can I just tell you now, don't get started on that stuff. You know the things that tempt me? The things that tempt me are the things that I've done. Yep, there's a lot of things I haven't done and I'm not tempted by those things. Amen. Can I tell you, stay away from the first one. Stay away from the first one. The only beer you don't have to drink is the first one. You only got to not drink for one beer, that's the first one, or smoke a cigarette, or the list goes on, amen. Whatever it is in your life that you're tempted by, stay away from that one, amen. And Lord, help us, amen. That says God's sanctifying grace, amen. He does it so that we can be a usable vessel for his honor, amen. Number three, now he calls you to do something. What is it? You might be a Sunday school teacher. You might be a witness to your neighbor. You might be a witness to the person at work. Say, you're called to do that? Yeah, if you're saved. Are you saved here tonight? Congratulations, you're in the ministry, amen. Wow, we're having a camera. This is a minister's conference tonight, amen. Why? Because everybody here is a minister to somebody, whether you're doing your job or not. Because you are being viewed by people, you are being listened to by people, and you will be a minister one way or the other, amen. Lord, help us to be faithful to the calling that God has put in our life, amen. But why does he do that? 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, amen. It's not what we can do, it says, but according to his own purpose and grace, amen. There's a purpose. God calls you to do something. There's a purpose why God puts something in your heart to go witness to your neighbor, amen. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Amen. That's what pleases God. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Talking about that gift again, remember? Have you been given the gift of God? Have you been given God's grace? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. All these things, God gives us an ability to do something so that we can be usable for the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's his serving grace. What is that? That's God giving us the ability, strength, patience, and wisdom to do what he called us to do. Amen. Man, people tell us, they say, how can you stick your family in a box and drag them up the road and go to a church and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then stick them back in a box, and you go Wednesday night and sing, and we preach again on Wednesday night, and then we stick them back in a box. And how can you live like that? I say, how can you not live like that? Amen. People think you're crazy. God gives you grace to do what he calls you to do. Amen. I say, how could you be a nursery worker? Amen. There's some things that you look at and you say, Lord, bless them. Bless them mightily. Amen. Bigly. Bless them bigly. Amen. But you know what it is God has a purpose. He's given every one of us a gift. He's given every one of us a talent or an ability. That's a whole nother message. But what has God got you to do? What is it that God has laid before you? Is something that you can do. Amen. And there's a lot, if you got everybody in here and you just kind of course you know each other, amen. You don't know me and I don't know you. I know Brother Ross a little bit because we're neighbors and we're goat farmers together, amen. You have to tell you a story about that sometime. Amen. But you know what it is there's different abilities, there's different things that you've gone through in your life that God has allowed to come into your life, and you've been given God's grace and you've been through a situation, and now you have a very unique ability to minister to somebody else. Amen. If there's a young lady in the church who's lost a child, maybe through miscarriage or whatever, how am I going to minister to her? Are you with me? But there's probably somebody in here who has, right? And you say, I wouldn't consider that the gift of God. No, but the grace he gave you to get through it. That's the gift of God, amen. Nobody's thankful for this situation, but boy, we're thankful for how God lets us go through it, amen. And the help and the strength that he gives us, amen. And now, congratulations, you are qualified in a very unique way to help somebody else where nobody else in the church could help them, amen. And just, Lord, help us consider what God has allowed us to have in our life, the things that he's allowed us to go through. And let us find somebody, amen, that's struggling. Let us find, what did it say? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, minister the same one to another, right? It's good that he helps us go through situations, but what if it stops there? What a shame. I heard it this way. The gospel came to you on its way to someone else. Amen. Minister the same one to another. So you're serving God. God's given you something to do. You might be witnessing to your neighbor. You're doing all these things, and God's called you to, I don't know, let's say be in evangelism and leave home and travel and things like that. And you know what it is he will point things out to you that are hindering you serving God. Amen. He'll point some things out to you and say, well, let's do this. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It's always better if you see it with your own eyes. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience the race that is set before us. And it says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Know what that is? That's that sanctifying grace. What is it? We got to deal with the sin, right? Boy, and we preach on sin, and we should. But what did it say just before that? It said, let us lay aside every weight. What is that? I don't know, but he said it before the sin, so it must be a big deal to God. You know what a weight is? A weight is simply something that is in between you and serving God. It's something that's not, you couldn't give me a verse on why it's wrong. You couldn't tell me what it is, why this is bad. There's nothing inherently wrong about it, but the way you're using it or doing this is coming between you and God. Let me give you an example. Is there anything wrong with our children being in sports? No. Is there anything inherently wicked about sports? No. I could go in some all kinds of other stuff from that. Amen. But there's nothing inherently wicked about sports. But what about when we have a game on Wednesday night? Amen. What about when we have the tournament and we have to go out of town and the games are on? Oh, I'm going out of town. Oh, good. So you'll find a church where you're at. Well, no, preacher. The tournament's actually on Sunday. And you've already made up your mind. You're going. You're not coming for counsel. You're just here to let him know you're not going to be in church. Moving on. Boy, this is fun already, isn't it? Amen. Amen. But what it is, it's something that's in your life, something that's in your life that maybe not necessarily wrong, but because of it interfering with you and what God has you to do, it's wrong. Amen. I remember we're going out, we're getting called to go out to meetings and things, and we're going out, and I've got a construction company. I'm the boss. I can make my own schedule. Yeah. So anyways, so we're going on. So the pastor calls me, right, brother, can you come out here? And I look at the schedule. Oh, man, I got this big project. So I call the guy and say, hey, can we move this project off a couple weeks? We need to move this off. I'm going to be out of town preaching, and I'm not going to be able to do that. And he's, sure. And that works a couple times. Amen. And now you start getting conflict at work. And now you're starting to feel the pressure at work. Remember that battle I was talking about? And now pastors are calling, and now you're telling them because you're under the gun, and you say, Pastor, I can't do it. We're having a youth conference. We'd really love to have your family in. I can't do it. I got this job. Now, is there anything wrong with having a job? No, the lights are still on. Thank God for a job, amen? But when it comes between what God has you specifically to do, maybe you need to consider that, amen? For us, it was traveling, amen? It's hard to be in evangelism when you don't go on the road anywhere, amen? When you're stuck down. And I was faced with a decision as the meetings started increasing, the tension at work started increasing. And remember, I'm the boss. I can make my own schedule. And I tried, and I did what I could, and you come to a point where you're going to have, God will allow you to get to the point where you have to make a decision. And you have to make a decision, and you can make whatever decision you want. But as for me and my house, right, he will give you a decision to make. And you know what it was, is I said, you know what, Lord, I'm not a businessman. We built it from the ground. I don't know how to sell it. What do you go to, Company Mart and sell it? What do we do? Amen. But we sat down. I remember telling the girls, I said, girls, we're gonna go full time. Like, oh, that's exciting. What is that? And so it's kind of like we do now, but we just don't come back. They're like, oh, okay, Dad. Any volunteers tonight? Amen. Amen. But see what I mean? If it's not the same for everybody, but if God's called you into a certain situation, you need to be sensitive to what God has you to do. Amen. And so we made up our minds. I said, I really know. I know that God wants us to be on the road. And I'm praying, God, please give them the grace to deal with this. Give them the grace to give up the house. We had animals, mules, all kinds of crazy animals, cows. And I said, God, please give the girls grace to give up the stuff. Amen. And please give me the grace to give up the stuff. Guys don't have stuff. Guys have tools. We need tools. Amen. Anyways. And so what it is God, and I call that God's shedding grace. I needed the ability to set aside that weight. Amen. There's nothing inherently wrong with having a job. Amen. But God can take care of me. And he has. Amen. But there was a time. Oh my, scary. Scary. Never a scarier time. Because for a man, providing for your home, that's my job. Amen. That's my, in scripture, that's my job. And when you come to, and how do you explain that to mom and dad? How do you explain that to your friends? You're going to do what? Yep, stand in line. Amen. But what happens is God gives you the grace, and you just have to trust God. And boy, it's easy to stand up here and preach about that. Folks, you just need to trust God. Trust God with your decision. Ooh, until you get to go through it. So anyway, so we made the decision. Said, okay, Lord, I remember we were sitting around the table. And I said, Lord, we prayed. And I said, Lord, if you do something with the company, then we're yours. I don't know what to do. I seriously don't know what to do right now. But if you do something, then we're yours. And it wasn't 3 days later, a man came up on my job site, and no kidding, he said, would you consider selling your company? And I remember I looked at him. I said, wow. Okay. And I said, yes, I would. And he's like, whoa, well, no, I mean, you can, and he was a saved guy. I mean, we did contract work for him and stuff. And he's like, well, no, I mean, you can pray about this. I mean, you know, talk to your pastor. I mean, and it's like, he was shocked. He's like, no. And I said, no, I said, you don't understand. I said, we've been praying about this. We've been praying for, you're simply the answer to our prayer. Amen. And whoo, he says, wow. And I explained the whole thing to him. And he said, wow, 3 days later. I said, my God does a lot of things on the third day. The third day has always been kind of special for him, I guess. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God sure is good. Amen. He sure is good. And you know what? That was scary. And I remember transferring. We took a while to transfer the equipment. And I had to deliver the tools. And I mean, taking your tools and you drop them off. And it's this is my livelihood. And I'm like, Lord, you see? You see, right? And what an exciting time in our life. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has brought me back to that point, brought me back to that decision, brought me back to that time around the table and said, see, I'm faithful. And he is faithful, amen. And there's no decision that you'll make for God that you'll regret. Now, you might be scared. I'm not saying you won't be scared, amen. Faith is, boy, you could go into a series on faith, amen. But I tell you what, God is faithful. And when he shows you something that's got to go in your life, you will not regret getting rid of that thing. You will not. I mean, there are folks around you won't understand. Amen. Your spouse might not understand. Amen. Lord, give us the grace. God's shedding grace. What's that? That's the ability to give, to shed things that hinder us from serving him. Pretty simple, isn't it? Lord, help us. Two prayers. Number one, God, show me what it is. Number two, give me the courage to do what it is necessary to get rid of that stuff. Amen. And lastly, and I'll close with this. You're doing everything that God wants you to do. You're serving him with all your might. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're witnessing. You're raising your children. You're a good husband or wife, or you're a good child. Whatever it is that you're doing your job. And the trials still come. You need God's sustaining grace. And Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. You ever ask God to take something out of your life? Some trial you're going through and you say, Lord, please, please get rid of this. Please, please move this thing out of the way. He besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, that's the problem is we don't want the power of Christ that bad. We don't want the power of Christ that bad. We don't want to go through the suffering, amen, the infirmities, the things that Paul had to go through, amen. Paul went through incredible things. I mean, this is a well-fed flock right here. I know that you know much about Paul and his sufferings, amen. How did he go through that? He wasn't Jesus Christ. People say, well, Jesus Christ, he was God. And okay, you can use that excuse, but you know what it was? They say, what about Paul? Paul's not God. I'm not God. I've got the Bible. I've got the Word of God. I've got the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we have to stand in the strength that God gives us. Amen. And he says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You see, Paul got to do something that we don't get to do. Paul just got to write about it. Amen. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. You know what that is? Paul got to see glory. Paul got to see some pretty incredible things, amen. And you read about all those, the shipwrecks and the stonings and all those different things that Paul went through. And don't you think for a second that he might have reflected back on what he saw? Amen. Because he says, I reckon for that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, we go through sufferings. We go through things. God allows things that happen in our life. And we're over here in the suffering. And that's where we find ourselves. And we find it hard to go on, right? Because we're supposed to be right here, right? But we're not. We're not where we need to be. We're over here. We're going through some trial. We're going through some affliction. And we're suffering. And Paul never minimized the suffering. He never said it wasn't suffering. He never said get tougher. He never said anything like that. He simply said, we got some things coming, boys. He said, there's some things coming that, he said, for I reckon that this present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is that? Paul kept his eyes on the prize. That's God's grace. Amen. Sometimes all God's sustaining grace is just remember what we got coming. Amen. You might be going through some things here tonight. You might be doing everything you know to do. God, I'm living for you. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why? Why not? Does anybody in this room deserve to not go through the things that Christ went through? I'm not above my Lord. Amen. Who am I? Why not me? Amen. And he allows us to go through some things. And that's a tough thing. And he never minimizes suffering, but he did say this. He said, it's coming. It's coming. Keep your eye on the prize. Amen. And if we can just consider in the time of our suffering what we got coming, it will get you through some tough times, amen. It will really get you through. That's God's sustaining grace. So where are you tonight? What grace would you need tonight? If I was to have you put it in a category tonight, remember we brought up the notes tonight. What category would your note fall into? It might be God's saving grace. You might be here tonight and you might need to be saved. Why don't you take God at his word? Trust the Lord tonight. Admit that you're a sinner. Come down here to an old-fashioned altar and get saved. Boy, we'd rejoice with you. We would. And there's enough grace to go around. Amen. You might be struggling with sin tonight. You might just need to come down and ask God for help. Amen. Lord, I've been struggling with this thing. But I admit it. I'm trying to do it on my own. I'm tired of doing it on my own. Give me the strength I need to get over this thing. Amen. You might just have something in your life that needs to go. And you know what it is. I could stand up here and say 30 different things. Amen. But you know what it is. Lord, help it. Remember the prayer? Number one, God, show me what it is. Number one, show me what it is in my life. Number two, give me the courage to do something about it. And if you're going through something here tonight, ask God to give you that sustaining grace. Amen. He is available tonight. Father, thank you for the day, Lord. I thank you so much for just being available, Lord. You're a good God. Lord, you're a mighty God. But I'm so thankful that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. God, obtain mercy in time of need. God, you're so good to us. And so many times, God, in my life, just personally, Lord, I've seen you do things, incredible things. Lord, the way you've taken care of us countless times, Lord, situations that seemed hopeless to everybody. And Lord, you brought us through it. And Lord, I thank you so much for just dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us on Calvary and giving us an ability to be made right with God, Lord, taking an enemy of God, making him a child of God. What a glorious thing. Lord, I don't know what the needs are here tonight, God, but I know that you're all they need. You're all I need, Lord. I pray that you'd help us consider, Lord, number one, that you'd show us what our need is tonight. Number two, God, give us the courage to ask you. Give us the courage to meet you at an old-fashioned altar and get that thing dealt with. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.